Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and this is episode 13 of Small Town Podcast. On this episode, we stay a little closer to the great city of Osceola and journey near the swamps of the Okefenokee. There we get to talk to a soft-spoken and humble man who has served his community for almost four decades. We're going to go talk to Councilman Willie Hardy in the small town of Homerville, Georgia. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Osceola, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Osceola made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Osceola, Georgia.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm. All right, I'm now honored to be joined by Councilman Willie Hardy of the city of Homerville. Councilman Hardy, thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Okay, Mayor, welcome to the city of great city of Homerville.
The great city of Homerville. Well, thank you so much. I should say the sound is going to be a little different for those that listen to the podcast. We are sitting in the council room that is in an old historic schoolhouse. Really nice character. Has very high ceilings, and so the acoustics are different than in some of the offices I've sat in before, but I'm really enjoying sitting this. I see the pictures on the back wall of the mayors over, I don't know how many years that goes back, Mr. Willie, but that's a long time.
It does.
Let's just get right into this. I'm so excited to hear some of the stories you have from your long service with the council here. So, Mr. Willie, I'll start with this. Were you born in the city of Homerville?
No, I wasn't. I was born in the next county over, Pearson, the Atchison County, actually a little settlement called Sandy Bottom,
near Pearson, but not in Pearson.
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So Lace Futch over in Atkinson County probably tries to claim you, huh?
<That's right. laughs>
So did you grow up there near Pearson and Sandy Bottom?
I grew up here in Homerville.
Okay. So so born over the county line and moved pretty quickly?
We pretty quickly. I don't know how quickly, but anyway, very quickly.
But you went to school all in Clinch County here in Homerville?
Yes, I went to school here in Clinch County in Homerville. The last year to finish my high school, I went to school over there in Coffee County in Douglas, Georgia.
Okay.
For a year.
Okay.
Because you couldn't, at that time, they didn't have a class that would graduate here in Homerville.
Okay. What year was that?
When was the year was that? Let's see, I think it was in 47, 48.
Now, when you say, I'm gonna ask this out of curiosity, when you say that there was not a class here in Clinch County to graduate from.
Yeah, well, this was back when they, you know, segregated the black school and the white school.
Okay, no, that's what I was thinking. So there was not a way for...
no way for me to graduate.
For a member, someone from the black community to graduate in Clinch County with a high school diploma.
Yeah, right.
So you went to the next county over and to get your diploma.
Yes,
but you still lived in Homerville.
Yes.
Okay. Times have certainly changed for
yes,
the good, I think. Yeah.
After I went to school in the next county over there, Douglas, Georgia, Coffee County,
mm-hmm.
then I finished there, but I had a one-year scholarship there.
Okay. And where was the scholarship to?
I went to Savannah State College.
Okay. Went over to Savannah, my old stomping grounds. And what did you, so you just spent 1 year there? You, how many years were you in Savannah?
I stayed there about 2.5 years, and then I was drafted into the military.
Okay.
And when I got every year, I was going back to school, but I never did go back.
Didn't finish, but what just out of curiosity, what were you trying to get a degree in over at Savannah State?
Yeah, I was just majoring in science, biology.
Okay. What branch of service were you drafted into?
I was in the Army, United States Army.
Okay. What'd you do in the Army? How long did you serve?
I stayed in there 2 years, and actually, I was in a petroleum section. We had gasoline products in for the vehicle there. Actually, after I finished my basic training, I went to France. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in France about a year and a half.
Okay. So you had some worldwide adventures before coming back to Homerville?
Yes.
So after the time served in the Army, what did you do then?
After the time, I came back and just did manual labor, one thing to the other.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything specific? Kind of just whatever was available?
Yeah. Well, whatever was available. But later years, took the course of a medical assistant.
Okay.
And then also as an emergency medical technician, and that's what I retired from as the manager of the ambulance service for Clinch County.
Okay, okay. All right, so I hear going for a degree in biology at Savannah State, drafted into the Army, did patrol over in France, come back and do any kind of manual labor, probably anything you'd find at first, and then got into a career in emergency management, and then retired from that at the county level.
Emergency medical assistant.
Okay. The EMTs, right.
EMTs.
But that's the ambulance service. Sorry, I say emergency management. I should say ambulance service.
And then was a registered medical assistant at the doctor's office.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's where that you were interested in biology and you ended up in the medical field very directly, didn't you? Okay. Okay. Let's talk about how you got into politics, because that was many years ago, it sounds like. You've been a long-serving member of the city council.
Yes, it was back in, I got out of service in 53, and probably different ones would say, we need a black person on the council.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept different people in the community to talk to me, and I just finally decided to go for it then.
Okay. And so before you, there was not another black council member.
I was the first black council member.
First one. And when did you first run?
I don't remember the year that I first ran. It had to be 1979, somewhere like that.
And I think you told me when we were talking earlier, you actually didn't win the first time. It sounds like there were a lot of candidates in there.
Yes. First time I ran, there was a lot of candidates, and some of the people had big families there, mm-hmm. and supported that candidate, and all were lost by the dozen votes there.
Okay. But then I think you see, because the terms were 2 years at the time.
Thank you.
And so 2 years later, you decided to run again.
Yes, right.
Okay. What made you think after that to decide to run again? I know there's two different schools of thought. There's people that run, and when they lose, they say, okay, well, I tried it and didn't work out. And there's people that
they
keep going. obviously, you kept going.
Tried to go for it again, with a lot of people pushing me, saying, try it again, and we're sure you'll win the next go round there.
And so you lost by 12 votes, you said, the first time. And the second time, since we're sitting here talking to you in a council.
Probably 50 or 60 or 100 votes there the next.
So you did quite well that time.
I did real well that second go round.
And you've run several times since then. Now, you said, I think you told me, what year did you first swear in as a councilman?
1980, I think.
Okay. That was many years ago. You've run several times. And have you had opposition a few times throughout, or every time, or none?
We were only terms lasting 2 years, but after then I didn't have any opposition.
So after you won, you have not had opposition since then?
I haven't had any opposition since then.
Because that's such a historical moment, and I've understood, especially in small towns, with the racial tension that has existed, in some cases continues to exist, Just speak for a moment as to what that meant to be the first black councilman in your city of Homerville.
Well, it meant a lot to me there. We didn't run by a post. You just, even though I was a black council member, you represented everybody in the community there. Still do, you know.
Okay, so it's a citywide election, even though you're for a specific post.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. So
I got a post. It's post 3, but that's just a number.
Right. It's still a citywide election. And for you to never have been opposed since then.
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Since 1980,
I don't know.
Chance.
I must have been doing a pretty good job, I guess.
It gives you a chance to brag on yourself a little bit.
No.
I assume there have been other black council members since then, so you were the first of several.
I was the first there. And, well, this year, there's three black council persons mm-hmm. out of the four, and white mayor and other white council member.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just want to dip into this topic a little bit because it is so important, and people try to kind of push it to the side. Why do you think that matters? I mean, there's some folks that you would say, well, it shouldn't matter who represents, especially when it's a citywide. But what's the importance of you representing part of the city?
Well, a lot of people got to have confidence in you when they have a problem. A lot of them will come to you. You try to do the best you can to help solve the problem. Because I'm the police commissioner. I've been that most all the time. There may be a couple of terms there, you know, I wasn't. Because mm-hmm. they tried to rotate it one time, and that didn't work too good.
Now speak to that, because every city is different, and so for you to be appointed as a member of the council, so in Ocilla, we've got committees, but there's not a specific council member that's appointed over a certain department or anything, but it sounds like in Homerville, you were the council member over the police.
Over the police, and the other council members over certain other areas there.
So does that mean the police chief in Homerville reports to you before reporting to the mayor?
No, normally he reports to the city manager, and mm-hmm. they keep me informed. And,
okay.
And they kind of report to both of us things that we need to know.
But maybe big picture or policy decisions with regard to the police. You're the man in the loop from the council, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, talk about some of the issues. And obviously, there's been a lot of changes in the world, and I imagine Homerville is no different. Mm-hmm. Since you started in 1980... We sit here in the old schoolhouse in the current council room in 2018. What are some of the things that you look back on and see, wow, that's really changed a lot? I hope that most of them are for the good. Maybe there's a few things that have changed for the not so good, but just reflect on that for a moment because you just have such a great legacy and experience to reflect on.
Yeah, well, most people don't treat me. They just treat me as a council person there. And when I first got on the council there, well, we didn't have any paved streets over in our area. So we had paved streets, and then eventually got water and sewer. So that's one of the accomplishments that we have, you know, since I've been on council there.
Okay. What else besides that? So that's a big thing to make sure the infrastructure is developed throughout the city. But what's some of the other changes that Homerville's undergone since 1980 when you first were in?
One time we didn't have this city hall. We had, used to be a hotel a couple of blocks down the street there. And we were, during my administration, we were able to get this old school and we converted it into a city building there where we got major offices, the library and police department. And the mayor had his office here at one time then, in the hometown program there. So
the mayor doesn't have an office here at City Hall anymore?
Well, he's got a business there, and so what reason he moved, he keep a lot of his business down there.
Oh, okay. Just works out of his own office.
Yeah.
Now, there was an interesting fact you and I talked about some time ago, and as I was getting to know you, I think even late last year, The current mayor of Homerville is Tom Kennedy.
Yes, sir.
And I believe you served with his grandfather when his grandfather was the mayor.
Yes, sir. His grandfather. Yeah.
Now, was his grandfather the mayor when you first stepped in office?
Yes, when I first came in.
Okay, so in 1980, Mayor Kennedy was the mayor that you worked with. And in 2018, Mayor Kennedy, who's Mayor Kennedy's grandson.
Grandson, yes.
Well, that's it. I think that's just really neat when talk to you about that. I want to make sure I pointed that out. So let me ask you this now, and I guess this kind of rewinds back. Obviously, you got a lot of encouragement to run two times before being brought onto the council in 1980. What is it that made you want to run, and what is it that keeps you wanting to run so many years later and serve your community?
I wanted to be a good representative of the city and to make sure the Pea Ridge area got what was coming, like the grants and facial uplift and things like that.
And you just continue to serve to make sure that keeps coming.
Yes, right. You know, grants is kind of hard to come by now, so that makes
That's right. I want to ask just a few fun, I hope they're fun, get-to-know-you questions for people to get to know Willie Hardy, and maybe people that know Willie Hardy will get to know him a little better. So I got a few questions. First one is, do you have or have you ever had a nickname, and what was that nickname?
No, they always call me Junior.
Junior, okay.
Yeah, Junior Hardy.
You Willie Hardy Jr.?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to keep calling you Mr. Willie, but if you want me to call you Mr. Junior, I can switch to that. If you had to sing a karaoke song to defend the honor of your fair city of Homerville, what would you sing karaoke?
God Bless America.
All right.
And God Bless Homerville.
What is your favorite meal or your favorite dish?
My favorite meal, I just like plain old country food there. Lima beans and rice and fried chicken.
And if you could attend any concert of any singer or group, either dead or alive, what concert would you want to attend?
I used to attend concerts quite a bit, like James Brown, Little Richard, and things like that.
All right. I hope when you listen to these episodes of Small Town Podcast that you will want to visit the small towns we feature. I really hope you'll want to visit my small town of Ocilla, Georgia. And when you do, you should be sure to visit the Shops at 4th and Cherry, located in the heart of downtown Ocilla. It's hard to sum it up in one word or phrase. The Shops at 4th and Cherry has gifts, home decor, men and women's clothing, jewelry, locally grown and made products, children's gifts, and so much more. They also have a cafe that serves lunch Tuesday through Friday. If you enjoy homemade chicken salad or pimento cheese, followed by some of the best desserts in the South, you should make your way over to Ocilla and go to the Shops at 4th and Cherry. To see what events and sales are coming up, or to see what's on the menu, visit them online at www.4thandcherry.com. That's all spelled out, FourthandCherry.com. Come gather, visit, relax, and enjoy life in Ocilla, Georgia at the Shops at 4th and Cherry. Just outside of my small town of Ocilla, Georgia, is the largest muscadine vineyard in the whole world. Now, if you're not familiar with muscadines, they are America's native grape. More recently, research has shown they have powerful health benefits, making muscadines the superfruit of the South. Whether you enjoy muscadines for their rich flavor or for their densely packed health benefits, you should visit Palk Vineyards. You can find their muscadine products in stores, you can purchase them online, or you can come visit the farm yourself. The fresh muscadine harvest is in August and September, and you can pick your own then. But you can visit year-round to sample Palk Vineyards muscadine wine. You can enjoy muscadine juices, jellies, health supplements, and now delicious muscadine wine, all at Palk Vineyards. For more information, visit palkvineyards.com. That's P-A-U-L-K. VineyardsCom.
I was back as RDC, you know, I was the chairman for a couple of terms there.
Okay. Let's talk about things you've done at the regional commission then. Yeah, because you called it RDC, so that takes it back a little bit.
Yeah, that go way back. I think now it's the region for RDC then.
Regional Commission, but yeah, it was the Regional Development. So did you work with, like I said, we've interviewed Lace Futch. He was our first guest on this podcast.
Yeah.
So when he was the executive director, you were on the council. How long have you been on that council? Because I know from the very first meeting I've ever attended, we don't eat our meal until Mr. Willie has said grace. And in fact, I remember one time the chairman looked up. It didn't even look up. He just said, "Mr. Willie, will you say grace?" Mm-hmm. And you had stepped out
to take
a phone call. And so, but he didn't look around to see who to ask. He knew who to ask before he looked up. How long have you served on the regional commission or the regional development
from center before? 1980 through 19. Oh, I probably served up probably 25 years there.
Okay.
When the first started, I was on for a year and then off for a year.
Okay. But you've always been, because I know it's always the mayor of the county seat, he serves on it, the chairman of the county commission, and then one other person. So you've been the city delegate, because the mayor can delegate a person to go in his or her place. Most of that time, you've been the delegate, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Back a few years ago, I remember offhand, you know, when I was executive director, we went to Washington, D.C. That's where you used to have to go to try to work and get grants there.
Right, yeah.
So I represented our area at in Washington at the a lot of meetings at the council.
Okay. So you went, and I guess you talked to members of Congress and things like that.
Like that, right.
Yeah,
special.
Yeah.
I think Lindsay something was our representative that he was, and we were, he was the one that tried to see that we'd get around and do this and do that, meet that.
Okay.
Nash Williams, he was the executive director and I was the...
You're the chairman?
The chairman there.
So did you go up to Washington, D.C. with Lace Futch?
I don't remember whether I went with Lace Futch or not.
Well, I think if you did, you'd probably remember it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
What was he like to work with as an executive director when you were the chairman?
Yeah, he was always a pleasant guy there. And you had to respect his thing, accomplishment there and the things he wanted to do there. I think one thing that when he got to be executive director, everybody was thinking that he can take all the dollars would come down in our area instead of being split down.
Yeah. He brought some, but I don't know if it was all of it.
Exactly right.
Tell me some of the other things you've been involved in your time serving. Obviously, like you pointed out, as a council member, you have the opportunity to serve on the RDC, now the Regional Commission, on other maybe task force boards with GMA, things like that. What are some of the other things you've done over the years to work towards things for Homerville?
Most things you work, but involved in like grants, but you can't do that by yourself.
There, right.
You know, you got to have the whole council backing you. There,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like upgrade the police department, work close and see that everything in the city hall is going pretty smooth there.
Yeah, you mentioned being, and the way you said it before, it seems like it's very important to you. You're the council member that's responsible for the running of the police department, except for a few terms, but then they quickly change back and had you do it. What have been some of the issues you've dealt with in a small town police department over the years?
Well, one of the main things we had to, every year, all the members work for the city, you know, they only work for one term at a time. A few years back there, we had a city police chief that we had some problems with, and we didn't rehire him. Then we ended up in a lawsuit on that.
Okay. But you actually have a department head that works for a specific term, and then you have to go through a rehiring process if you want to keep them?
Yes. That worked every year. The major workers of the city.
Right. The department heads, police chief, fire chief, things like that.
That.
Okay. That's interesting. So you reappoint every year? Or every
reappoint every year. Then.
Okay, wow. So
if
then
a reappoint, a long reappoint.
Right. Well, and again, I know cities do things different ways depending on where you go. So in Ocala, we don't reappoint every year. The council has the ability to hire and fire those positions, but once they're appointed, there's not an automatic reappointment. But I've heard of other cities that do that with maybe a city clerk and I think the police chief. But for you, it's for Homerville, it's all of them, huh?
Yes.
And so in that particular case, you just didn't reappoint, huh?
Didn't reappoint, and we ended up in a lawsuit on that.
Okay. Just felt like he'd been unfairly let go?
Well, the federal judge, his reason, he said why we lost, because he only had been here the prior year, maybe 8 months or something like
that. Okay.
And the federal judge felt like he should have served 12 months. And
okay. So you end up dealing with situations like that. But what other issues do you feel like you have to overcome with respect to the police department?
Well, you have people always coming to you about complaints, and you kind of just listen at them and then check with the chief there and see what he has on file that, you know, that he can let me in on, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I say I'll agree with them, and sometimes things I think it should be worked the other way there.
When you were not over the police department, what were the other departments you got put over briefly?
Well, I think I was over the street department, maybe a term or two.
Okay.
Water and sewer, a term or two, and then that's basically the only two.
And police the rest of the time. Let me shift now and talk more specific about Homerville. And let me just start out with just asking this general question. What makes Homerville such a great small town? You did the same thing I do when I say Osceola. I say the great city of Osceola. You said, welcome to the great city of Homerville. So what is it that makes Homerville unique as a small town?
Well, it's a friendly city there. And we, in our city, we try to keep it neat where, you know, tourists are passing through, going east, west, or north or south, you know. So since the swamp is in our county, you know, we have a lot of people passing through headed toward the Okefenokee Swamp there.
Mm-hmm. So you get a little bit of tourism coming through, huh?
Yeah, we get a little bit of tourism coming through there. Well, not all the counties in the swamp is in Clinch County. I think there's a little part of it in Ware County and a little part over there in what's that for? Folkston County, really.
Charlton County?
Charlton County, yep.
But we've already talked about some of the departments you've worked in. What are some of the struggles? Because, small towns are great places to live. I believe that. I think a lot of people do. But obviously, there's still some struggles that have kind of been focused on a little bit in the state of Georgia and really in America. But what's some of the things that Homerville's gone through and maybe how you've dealt with some of those struggles?
Okay, well, not really no major problem. One of the major problems in the police department, we have time trying to recruit black policemen there. So I think we don't have any at present time there.
And why do you think that's an issue?
Well, the guys over there in our area, Dad, I don't think they want to go against the buddies and stuff like that.
And recruiting from outside of the cities?
Yeah, try to recruit wherever we can.
Okay. Beyond the police department, obviously that's near and dear to your heart, but what are some of the other, maybe economic development or some of the transportation issues? What is it that Homerville kind of struggles with the most? Or what's a struggle you've had in the past that you've been able to overcome? What are some turnaround stories you've got?
Yeah, most of the problems, I hadn't had any other major problems. You know, we kind of work with them where they trying to get industry, you know, back in Clinch County. Because we lost Dollar General Distribution Center, so we hadn't been able to replace it. And we got a couple of other places, you know, just doing pretty good there. Looks like me now is going into the blueberry town city, rather.
Yeah.
What means blueberry, Cole County, was blueberry city, some of the warehouses in the city they're here.
Uh-huh. So let me ask this question. In most places, there's someone that has, I guess, an outsized influence other than an elected official. So who would that be in Homerville? Is there a person that you want to have their buy-in on a new proposal or a new plan or solution just to make sure, because they've just got a lot of influence?
Yeah, well, we got this several, but I would say Jeff Bryan is one of the major persons that works to try to get industry and recruit things recruit for a county, city, whatever.
And what is his position in town?
He's on the Chamber of Commerce and the Industrial Committee.
What kind of business is he in?
Insurance.
Okay. And he just happens to have a good bit of influence and he's done a good job recruiting?
Yeah, he was an insurance banker, but mostly he was a banker for insurance his life. Then he got to be over the new bank, and he got kind of halfway, you know, laid back into that and let the other people run it. But.
Okay. A lot of times when somebody runs for office, they have an idea about the issues that they're going to confront. Maybe it's a big project or some ordinance or law you want to put in place or change. And then when you get into office, the issues you end up dealing with because of constituent concerns or complaints ends up being something far different. So is there an example of that for you where, and maybe for you, you know, starting so long ago, the issues now are just totally different than the issues when you first were elected. So tell me something that's that you end up dealing with a lot that you never expected you would.
I've got recreation, but I don't hardly have much to do with recreation. I guess if you got children, you're more involved in the recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Things that some people feel like you're not doing enough for your community, keeping it clean, things like that, even though you're kind of a shorthanded. They work hard as they can there. And I had somebody come to me the other day. Well, they always comes a lot there. One time there was a house full there about police department, you know. But it seems like right now everything's running pretty smooth there.
Okay. So what is the most provocative thing that has ever happened in either a city council meeting or a public hearing, some kind of public meeting? And you've got a lot of experience to draw from. So what's something, sometimes provocative things happen only in small towns. So what's something that the most interesting or unusual thing that's happened in a meeting in Homerville?
Well, we have people come in about the city. It's not clean as it should be. Just the streets are dirty. Streets need to be cleaned downtown, one thing. And then water lines or sewer problems or things like that. That's what a lot of them come to.
That's what they want to come talk about?
Yeah.
Was there ever a particular issue that just the place was packed out and people were mad and it was some kind of just, you know, odd or unusual situation?
One of the major other issues is drainage. When it rains a lot, the water actually comes from up north and headed south, and it's in, some people say it's in their yard and property there, and you feel like the city can restructure that. And
I have experienced several people that think that the city can engineer water to go uphill.
Yeah, right. They do. That's what.
So nothing too provocative, just the normal, you know, water and sewer needs to be better, drainage improvements, and keep everything clean.
Yeah, because it's higher that way, and when you go south there, you get low below street level.
Okay, so nothing provocative. Well, man, you describe this as a nice, quiet town. You really mean it. That's all they talk about in the meetings. Let me ask this, because there's plenty. Yeah, I've got to drive through your downtown. It's not my first time in Homerville. I've been in your council room here before and have admired your city hall and what you've been able to do with this old historic building and give it a good use. But I'm curious, I want to give you the opportunity to talk about some of the other things that people may want to visit and enjoy in Homerville. So what kind of things would be a draw for Homerville?
Okay, we got that library there. And a lot of people by the time, you know, historical library there, they come to and visit that.
Okay.
It's one of the major other things that I can think of.
I seem to think, in doing a little bit of research, Homerville seems to be known, or Clinch County maybe, for a lot of honey. That seems to be kind of a big thing around here.
You say honey?
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, that's what the mayor is involved in. That's part of his business.
Okay. Too.
Honey.
Is that how he got elected? Because everybody's involved in honey, so they had to elect.
No.
Big industry down here.
No, they just felt like they wanted to change the mayor at that time.
Okay. Well, if somebody came to Homerville and they could only see or experience one thing, what's the one thing you'd want to make sure they visited, a site or a certain event? What would you make sure that someone got to experience in Homerville?
Other than the industry, you know, it's got recreation and one of the major thing there because, you know, school. Because mm-hmm. outstanding number one football team won the state championship.
Yeah, yeah. You guys came to Irwin County to do that last yeah. December. I was going to hope you wouldn't bring that up, and sure enough, you did. All right, Mr. Willie, I was going to give you another opportunity. If you, I know you've got some great stories to tell about either city government or just life in a small town.
Yes, one thing when I was running for city council there, and I put my little ads and say so, I think I had in there that I was poor, and the poor was calling me poor. So a lady mentions that a lot of times. I was so poor that people called me poor. and they were, you know, just a thing they were just saying that the poor was, I was so poor, the poor, till the poor was calling me poor.
So the poor were calling you poor, that means that you were their representative.
Yeah, I was running there saying you needed somebody with a poor, a minority, low-income person on the city council.
Well, I imagine you're doing okay. I mean, you say you retired from running the ambulance service in Clinch County?
Yes, yeah, so I was the manager of the ambulance service in Clinch County. I retired from that. But every once in a while, I kind of go out there and they let me do a couple of things.
Yeah.
There.
What are some other things you do? Do you just occupy your time with just a city business, or what's some other hobbies you have now? Because how long have you been retired from the ambulance service?
Probably about 10 years. Of course, me and my wife both worked as medical assistants. Of course, she passed now, and I sometimes travel down in Florida, rambling around. And I either when I'm not working, sometimes I go out there at the ambulance service and talk with the guys, just kill time and like that, and church and
yeah. What are some of the maybe places you go just to kind of hang out in Homerville? What's the local hot spot to go either for breakfast or just to go be with other folks and socialize?
Well, I hardly ever get it for breakfast. I just get up and fix something myself, and for lunch I do the same thing, but I always go and hang out with the senior citizen over there.
Okay.
Because I'm one of them.
Well, that's a good place to be.
Yeah, that's 5 days a week there. So, and sometimes they take trips to different places there, and I might go with them every once in a while there.
What's the last trip you took with the senior citizens group?
Oh, I went to, I think, Adair one time, and also we went to Lake City in time or two. They go some way every month, but okay. I don't usually go with them.
You don't go every time, but you go every once in a while.
They take a trip and they go in maybe a dollar store or something. Every once in a while, you might go in there and you'll come out with something you don't need.
I'm sure you're the only one that does that. Yeah,
right.
Well, I'll tell you what, as we start to close, I want to give you the opportunity to speak directly to the audience and tell them why they should come visit, or maybe why they should think about moving to Homerville, Georgia.
I think it's a nice place where most people in the community get along together there. We don't have any major issues where this group can't get along with that group there. And that's one of the good things. And we just wish we had more industry to draw people into town there. Other than, blueberry is a season thing there, so there's plenty, a good bit of jobs doing that this time of year. But the other time, after the blueberry season over there, there's kind of a lot of people just all around, can't find jobs, because you got that crew that don't want jobs.
Is there an annual festival you guys have in Homerville that you want to talk about?
People get together and, well, not people, but community get together, and we have different things for the children at the city does every once in a while there. We have this big celebration for the 4th of July and Labor Day, and then back to school events there, things like that.
So you always got something going on.
Yes, of course, I was out of town. I just got back here. I think they were having a big Easter thing for the children at our church there.
So. Okay. Does the chamber put on, because in Osceola, we have the Sweet Potato Festival every year. It's the last Saturday in October. Does Homerville have something similar that's an annual festival?
No, because I can see honey and blueberries the major thing here.
So, yeah, you got to have the Honey Blueberry Festival.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm.
All right, well, any other stories you want to share with us?
I can't think of anything right now there. I don't think people are always running to give you this idea, that idea, and you kind of say yes. Some things, you know, you can't do by yourself.
Right.
You can't do, period. You can only present it to the cops and see what they think.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Councilman Willie Hardy, thank you so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Okay. Just glad to have you.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Councilman Willie Hardy for talking with me. As always, I want to thank our season-long sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association and the Southern Mercantile. Thanks also to the shops at 4th and Cherry and Polk Vineyards for sponsoring this episode. If you would like to support Small Town Podcast, help us grow our audience. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and share us with others. Leave us a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. I'm looking for some other great small towns to visit for upcoming episodes. If you know a small town I should highlight or a small town official that I should sit down and talk with, let me know by contacting me through our social media channels or email me directly at mayormatt@smalltownpodcast.com. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
We stand adjourned.